This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, the Opera Box.
Thinking about turning your garage into something more? Like maybe a game room or a home gym? Make room for your dreams by getting rid of the biggest obstacle in your way, that unwanted vehicle. We'll have it picked up at no cost to you and use the proceeds to support KGNU. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or learn more at kgnu.org.
Good evening and welcome to the Opera Box. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next hour. Tonight, an opera by the forgotten English composer Phyllis Tate, who in 1960 composed her masterpiece The Lodger, libretto by David Franklin, and based on the 1913 novel The Lodger by Bello Lowndes, which was itself inspired by the Jack the Ripper murders of 1888. The novel, The Lodger, has also been adapted for screen several times, the first by Alfred Hitchcock back in 1927. Phyllis Tate, this evening's composer, wrote a number of stage works, including the operetta The Policeman's Serenade, written in 1932 and performed at the Royal Academy of Music to great reviews. Tate later disowned the work, going on to compose The Lodger and at least four more operas, and two additional operas specifically for television. This recording of The Lodger, made in 1964, sounds a lot like a BBC radio play, with the narrator introducing each scene for those of us not in the theater. I think it makes for a delightful experience for you radio listeners. I hope you'll agree. And so we'll be sampling scenes from The Lodger for the next hour. The story is simple. Emma and her husband George, to help make ends meet, run a boarding house in London in 1888. Their daughter, Daisy, is in love with Joe, who also happens to be a police detective. A stranger arrives and asks for lodging, and he is welcomed heartily by Emma and George because they are short of funds and because the lodger seems harmless enough. We all know who the lodger is and what he is capable of long before Emma, George, Daisy, and Joe catch on, but by then it's too late. Let's begin with the opening two scenes of Act One. No fire again tonight, Emma, which sets the scene for George and Emma and their poverty. And then Whoever Can That Be, which is the arrival of the lodger himself. The Lodger by Phyllis Tate.
She had some mending in her lap. He sucked miserably at an empty pipe. And they were both cold and hungry and anxious.
Until there's little enough in my purse. I'll fight saying,
God
save you.
Boy? Hey, boy, give us a paper.
Thanks, girl. This ripper ain't no good for trade. Don't turn it tonight already. Paper!
Bloodthirsty little brute.
Is that tonight's paper, Bunting?
It is.
And what made you buy that foolishness?
It's not foolishness. Any man wants to know what's going on in the world. These ripper murders, for instance.
Ripper nonsense! Why did you buy that paper?
I've always liked the fire of an evening. The pipe and the paper, well, look at me now. No fire, no baccy for me pipe. So I bought a hefty paper. Do you begrudge a man a hefty word of comfort?
Your comfort is just selfishness. That hefty would have bought us a hefty bag of nuts. I would have boiled them for soup, and the soup would have fed us for all day. You let us talk. Bunting, aren't you going to open the door? Are you going to sit there and let me go? All right, I'm coming. Well, what is it?
About apartments, have you a room to let just now?
Oh, yes, that is, I think I could just manage it.
Can I see the room?
Oh, yes, sir.
Now?
Yes, please come in this way, sir. I like the gas. But we used to be in service and know how to make a gentleman comfortable. And we'd be willing to alter it any way you want.
No, don't alter it, Mrs.
Bunting.
Mrs. Bunting, I like this room. It's quiet and plain, like me, Mrs. Bunting.
You want the room?
If it's not too deal, I have work to be finished. The money I have has got to last until my work is done. What are your charges, Mrs. Bunting?
Would 35 shillings a week be all right? Or say 30 shillings?
Mrs. Bunting, you mustn't rob yourself. 35 shillings a week will be splendid. Are you sure that's enough?
Oh, yes, sir. These are my usual charges.
Then that's settled. I'll take the room from this very moment. You'll find me an easy man to look after. I've simple tastes and no fads.
How long will you want the room, sir? It's usual to pay something in advance, sir. Soon as you've taken the room.
Of course, let's see. 4 weeks at 35 shillings. That's £7. And here are 7 sovereigns. Just let me know when I have to pay more.
Oh, I will, sir.
Bunting, have you a Bible that I might borrow from you? I am a great student of the Bible.
Indeed, I have, sir. Bring it at once. You are welcome to use it whenever you want to.
Thank you.
And would you like Bunting to go for the rest of your luggage, sir, to the station or wherever you've left it?
This bag is all. I have only my work on the good book and the other work that I must do.
I see, sir. I'll get it straight away.
Emma, why, where does this money come from? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven pounds. It's a fortune. Where do you get it?
We've got a quarter, Bunting. At last, we've got a quarter.
And he paid £7 in advance. It's a bloody miracle. God bless me soul. A lodger at last. I'll put a match to the fire. What's he like? What's his name?
I never asked him, but he's a gentleman. Quiet, kind, nice voice. And he's got lovely manners.
And a money, thank God for the money. £7 lovely quid. Well, how's that for a fire? We can afford it now. Burning nice, isn't it?
I can't hardly see it.
Why not going well, that fire?
Blind my sight.
We've been listening to the opening two scenes from The Lodger, the 1960 opera by the English composer Phyllis Tate. This is The Opera Box on KGNU. Let's continue with a scene deep within Act One. There are so many comparable scenes to this, but I wanted to share with you the arrival of Emma and George's daughter, Daisy, who is soon to be proposed to by her boyfriend, Joe, the police detective. They encounter the lodger, who the entire audience knows to be Jack the Ripper, but whose identity is still unknown to the boarding house family. The lodger begins to act strangely, expressing religious zeal and strange ideas about sex, but to the household remains fairly benign. Daisy Bunting arrives, from Act One of The Lodger by Phyllis Tate.
Daisy Bunting arrives and puts down her luggage outside the front door.
Bert! Bert! Where the hell has Bert got to? Hey, Lola. Want to end with that suitcase?
No, thanks. I'll live here.
Ta-da! Look, there's old Bert. Silly old fool. Pick him up, boys.
Bert's on the beer again. Amen.
Daisy, good Lord, what you doing here? Mother, Daisy's here. Well, love, how are you? Give your old dad a kiss. You're looking well, any rate. What are you doing here?
Give us a chance, Dad. Let's get a word in.
Come on in, girl. It's good to see you.
Whatever are you doing at home?
I've been trying to get a word in edgeways to tell Dad. My lady has gone to Germany to take the waters. It's her rheumatism, fancy. She shut the house and sent us all home for 3 weeks' holiday. What do you think of that?
It will be lovely to have you, Daisy dear. Won't it, Dad?
Yes, first rate. Cheer us up a bit. Come on. Tell us all about yourself.
Now wait, Dad. Don't rush me off my feet. I'm filthy dirty from the train. I'll go and have a nice rinse. And then what about a cup of tea, Mum? Nice to be back in my own room again.
That's just it. Daisy, my girl, it won't be your own room. That's booked. We've got a lodger.
No, really? Oh, how nice for you. I am glad. What's he like, Mum?
He's a very nice gentleman, I'm sure. And no one can say more than that. I'll go and put the kettle on. He's very nice, and I'll not have a word against him.
But, Dad, it isn't nearly as nice coming home as I thought it would be. Dad, there's something strange about Mum. What is it?
God knows. I don't.
Is it something to do with the lodger? She didn't want to talk about him.
She's changed since he came. But how could it be him? He's a strange chap, and his odd little ways.
but he's a perfect gentleman and very nice to your mother.
But, Dad, just now you said that me being home would cheer you up. Why do you want cheering up?
I don't know, Daisy. There's nothing wrong with him. He's a nice chap. Your mother's got nothing to worry about. But she's changed, and I can't think why.
Dad, I'm worried. How often I had longed to come home.
Look here, girl, this is no way to behave. Just as you get home, come on, let's pull ourselves together and cheer up. Here, we had a visitor the other night asking after you. Who do you think that might be?
I'm sure I don't know who would be interested. Who was it?
Joe Chandler.
But why should I care?
No, come off it. Daisy, you can't kid me. Nice boy, that, and you know it. Here, he'll be off duty in a few minutes. I know he's early this week. He'll be coming along the Marylebone Road soon. What about popping out and meeting him all accidental-like?
Oh, Dad, you are awful. Really?
Then we can ask him to come back to supper. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
But I can't go. I have
time for washing now. Do all that when you get back. If you wait now, you'll miss him. Come on, hurry, show a leg. Mum! Daisy and I are off to meet young Joe. Bringing him home shan't be a few minutes.
All right, off you go. Bye-bye, hope you find Joe. Don't be too long.
We've been listening to The Lodger, the 1960 opera by the English composer Phyllis Tate. This is The Opera Box on KGNU. Let's go now to the conclusion of The Lodger, a two-act opera about Jack the Ripper, written by Phyllis Tate back in 1960. The final few scenes are Does Mum Know?, referring to daughter Daisy's recent engagement to Joe, but could have a double meaning, Does Mum Know About the Lodger? Then the escape of the lodger in The Lodger Gropes His Way Out of the House, and finally the epilogue, when it finally dawns on the rest of the cast that the lodger may, in fact, have been the infamous Jack the Ripper. In the epilogue, when did you know who he was? The final three scenes of The Lodger by Phyllis Tate.
Does Mum know?
No, not yet.
She'll be so pleased when she knows. When is it going to be?
Not for a bit. Daisy will have to restrain her impatience. All is stopped until our chaps get this Jack the Ripper.
Get Jack the Ripper?
Emma comes into the passage from the kitchen and meets the lodger face to face. They stand motionless, listening to Joe.
I know the papers say the police are a lot of fools and don't know their own business, but I'm on the inside and I hear a lot of what's going on. A chap I know in the super's office told me we're looking for a madman. He's been in an asylum and years ago he did a lot of jobs like this lot, killing women, carving them up in a German town. The name begins with an L. Let me see. Leipzig. Is there a place called Leipzig?
I don't know.
It don't matter what the name is. Point is one. We know what he looks like. Two. He's a loser. Isn't much, but at any rate we know the sort of man we're after, and now we know that we'll have him within a week. You watch.
Oh, Joe, I think you're wonderful.
Well, let's forget about it. What about our tea? Heart's getting cold. Hey, Emma. Where is she? Come on, love. We're starting tea.
The lodger grips Emma's arm, pulls her into his room, and shuts the door behind them.
Betrayed me?
No.
How else could the police know about Leipzig? Oh, Delilah, traitress.
No, I haven't told a soul. Not even George. Someone else, maybe. Someone in Leipzig. They must have written to the police. But not me. I promise you I didn't. Please, please believe me.
Believe the whole of Babylon. You'll find her everywhere, ill, in this house, always ready to cheat and betray you. Speak. Why not? In God's name, why not?
The man they're looking for is a cruel murderer. Why should I give to them a man?
All right, I am not ill. Doctor!
You need help, desperately!
But a doctor will call the police, and they will come for me. They must not come, must not find me. If they find me, they will hang me. But you have plotted this. It is all to the country to capture me, a typical Babylon!
Thank you.
Let the darkness now protect me. My strength is gone. My terrible work is done.
The lodger gropes his way out of the house as the Cockneys return. But this is no birthday celebration. They are exhausted and dejected.
Thanks, love.
Dad!
Well, I could manage another, but will there be a cup in the pot for your mum? Where is she? What is she doing?
Listen, Dad.
All three of them hurry into the lodger's room.
Mum, what's wrong?
He's gone.
The lodger?
Yes, he's gone.
Owe you anything?
Nothing.
Taken anything?
No, it's all right, Joe. He's paid in advance. He hasn't taken nothing.
Well, don't worry if he's paid in advance and then goes, because you're quizzing.
I wonder what that precious lodger of theirs was like. I never saw him, not once.
Never mind him. I've got a plan how to get this Ripper chap. Let me get my hands on him. I capture him. They make me a superintendent on the spot. I marry you, and we live happy ever after. How about that?
Of me knowing who he was, knowing that someday it must come to an end, dreading what that end might be.
But when did you find out for certain?
I guessed the very first night he came here, when young John description. No, it was more than guessing. I knew it. I was certain.
But why not tell me? When have we ever hidden things from each other?
That we got some money, that we weren't going to starve, that our luck had turned, and that the lodger was such a nice gentleman. I couldn't spoil your happiness just when you deserved it so much.
But it had to come out. That our nice gentleman was a murderer.
Understand you? Think of all the women he's killed. And he'll go on killing. How do you know he will not murder anymore? Something will have to be done. He must tell the police.
Torture him anymore.
But Emma, we've
got to face up to it. They'll not be as kind and merciful as you are, Miguel. If they catch him, they'll not ask themselves if he is sick or well. They'll hang him, hang him.
Daisy and Joe come quietly into the room, wondering what Mother and Dad are doing. Emma looks at the Bible that the lodger has left open on the table. Her lips are moving as she reads. They look over her shoulder to see what she is reading.
It open when he went.
I love those final ominous chords, so unexpected in that tonality. That was the finale of Phyllis Tate's 1960 opera, The Lodger. Baritone Joseph Ward was The Lodger. Emma and George were sung by mezzo-soprano Johanna Peters and bass Owen Brannigan. Their daughter Daisy was sung by soprano Marion Studholm, and her fiancé Joe was the tenor Alexander Young. We also heard the voice of narrator Anthony Jacobs introducing each scene, and they were accompanied by the BBC Northern Orchestra, Sir Charles Groves, conducting. It was originally recorded for broadcast on the 2nd of February, 1964. The Lodger by Phyllis Tate. Hope you've enjoyed this evening's Opera Box, and I hope you'll join us every Monday evening from 7 to 8 right here on KGNU. Classical music continues with Classic Monday coming up next.
Tune in to Indian Voices, Sundays at 3 o'clock on KGNU. Join award-winning host Teresa Halsey as she explores Native American issues, music, and culture. That's Indian Voices, Sundays at 3 o'clock on KGNU.
Support comes from the KGNU listener members and by North Boulder Counseling, specializing in anxiety counseling and depression treatment. Offices in Boulder and online options throughout Colorado. More information can be found at northbouldercounseling.com. Support comes as well from Tatakin Tree, serving the Colorado Front Range. Tatakin provides full-service tree care, including tree preservation, planting, and a holistic approach to pest and disease management. For more information, call 303-554-7035 or visit tadikentree.com. Additional support comes from the Paramount Theater in downtown Denver, presenting guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter Christone Kingfish Ingram live on Thursday, May 19th. Tickets and information can be found at ParamountDenver.com. The time is 8 o'clock. You are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, our classical music lineup continues with a Classic Monday. Welcome back, friends, to another edition of A Classic Monday here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. My name is Iris Berkeley. I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours with music from the classical tradition. And today will be a little bit of a theme, I'm going to say. We'll call it On This Day. We'll be showcasing two premieres that took place on May 2nd, but in very different years. But first, I want to give a big thank you to Gary McBride for his wonderful edition of the Opera Box. He will be back in the studio at 10 o'clock tonight for The Present Edge. We open tonight with the third movement of a piece called Angles for Violin, Piano, and Cello. It's a movement entitled simply About a Minute Waltz, and it comes off of an album called Paul Lansky Angles. Now, that title is actually pretty true because it clocks in at 1 minute 16 seconds. It wouldn't be obvious from what we just heard, but Lansky was known for his early experiments with computers for sound synthesis, and that's what he did until about 2004. Since then, he pivoted a bit and has concentrated on instrumental composition without any electronic involvement. And as such, we heard it in a 2021 recording by the Weiss Kaplan Stumpf Trio. That's violinist Mark Kaplan, cellist Peter Stumpf, and pianist Yale Weiss. As I said, we've got this On This Day theme premieres that took place on May 2nd. We'll start with a 1956 premiere coming up next by English composer Ralph Vaughan Williams, which first made its appearance at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester, England, 66 years ago tonight. This is his Symphony No. 8 in D minor. Now, at the time, Vaughan Williams was in his 80s and was kind of a figurehead of Britain's art music scene, and as such, the symphony took a long time for him to write. It took about 3 years, delayed by a bunch of busy conducting and lecture schedule appearances. And as such, it's also the shortest of Vaughan Williams' 9 symphonies. It's got 4 movements, and they run to just under a half an hour. And as you'll hear, its standard orchestral instrumentation is augmented by quite a lot of percussion, including tubular bells, celesta, and tuned gongs, plus 2 harps. We'll hear a performance dating back to 1990 by the London Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Brydon Thompson, here tonight on a Classic Monday on KGNU Community Radio.